From somewhere in Northeast Indiana, Mike Davidson lives. And now your host of the podcast, Mike Davidson.
Lights, the cameras, the media frenzy, who's wearing who, red carpet. For crying out loud, I thought this was a sport, right? Hell yes, Mr. Rob Roop. Thank you very much. It's me, Mike. Mike Davidson Lives is the name of the podcast, and you downloaded it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for hanging out with me for the next half hour. Glad you're here. Yeah, NFL draft. Did not watch it. It's ongoing this weekend. The other drafts, rounds of the draft, happened Saturday. Recording this late Friday and early Saturday morning. First three rounds, I think, are done. Get to that here in just a few moments. But I was kind of preoccupied last couple of days, or especially last night. My oldest daughter, Lana, not feeling the best. She got sick Thursday night. She could not go to school Friday. She loves school. Great student. But it's one of those things I feel bad for her. Because she's got a stomach bug. I've had a stomach bug before. They're never fun. I think they're worse than having a fever. But she's handled it pretty well. She's doing a lot better than she did 24 hours ago. But she said that one of the sweetest things to my wife as I was at work, she said that, being sick was a good thing because she got to spend more time with mommy and daddy. Which made me kind of, smile a little bit. She spent more time with mom today than me because I was at work. But she was still up when I got home, and she just wanted to hang out for a little bit. And glad to do it. Probably a sign I'm doing something right. Like I said, I've been preoccupied, so no, I have not caught up on the miniseries Shogun. The final episode dropped earlier this week. Next episode, I'll give a review. But good Lord, what a well-written, well-acted, just everything hitting on all cylinders with this thing. Great, great melodrama. Highly recommend it. Hopefully they don't, crap the bed with the finale. Otherwise, all this little build-up I've been giving throughout the last several weeks is going to be all for naught. It's going to be kind of like, if it is like that, you watch that first season of Westworld, and you're like, oh man, this is so good. And then you watch that second season of Westworld, and then in season three, you realize it's just a flaming bag of dog shit, and you never speak of Westworld again. Hopefully Shogun is a lot better than that. Reading a book by Ray Bradbury, classic book. Not Fahrenheit 451. Although I did reference him on Facebook the other day with the flame-throwing dog. That's a little scary. Get to that here in a little bit if you haven't heard about the flame-throwing dog. But he just one thing I will say about Ray Bradbury. The guy can go in some real dark places and still be one of the most optimistic writers there was. And, I kind of miss a guy like that. Need more guys like that. Also, I did see the Deadpool Wolverine trailer earlier in the week. Love it? Yeah. Do I think it could be good? Yeah. Do I think it's going to save Marvel and Disney? Yeah, probably not. a lot to get. The thing to remember is the first two Deadpools were made before the merger, before Disney acquired Fox, and so, Ryan Reynolds was able to get away with a little more. Now he's being folded into the MCU, the creative control of Disney, so they might allow him to do some things, but keep in mind, he's now part of that family. And even if he gets to say a few F-bombs, he might be restricted in some areas. So this is kind of a cautious optimism. Can I comment on one of the dumbest trends I saw on social media this week in terms of pop culture? Larry the Barfly. Do you know who the hell this guy is? He was a very, very, very minor character on The Simpsons. He was one of the guys that just sat at the bar at Moe's Tavern, barely ever said a word. I watched that show seasons 1 through 9. still some of the best television ever made. Haven't watched it since. But they're making a big deal because I guess in the latest episode of The Simpsons, they killed him off, and fans were upset about this. Why? Why would you be upset about this? This is not an actual loved one. This is not a beloved character. Just, this would be like, you know, a vase falling off of Marge's corner table breaking and you crying about it for a week. No, nobody's actually upset about Larry the Barfly dying. This is kind of just some buzz out there to let you know that The Simpsons still exist. Kinda. And how can I be upset about that when they killed Maude Flanders in one of the most vicious ways possible for laughs? You know what I mean? Like, why would I get upset about a minor character dying when you pretty much you pretty much just clowned the actress that played Maude Flanders and the character herself and had her killed by a t-shirt cannon? Yeah, no. Not feeling it. Sorry. And as far as I'm concerned, Larry the Barfly is still alive because I, again, haven't watched... So is Maude. I haven't watched past season 9. A little excited, though. I mean, yeah, I didn't watch the NFL draft. I was following it on Twitter. I think that's the smart thing to do when it comes to award shows, when it comes to... if you're into the award show thing. And when it comes to drafts, it's just follow it on social media. And you can kind of pick and choose who you follow and get their perspective, because TV pundits have a tendency to just irritate me. And the whole NFL draft, again, went away from a bunch of old, fat, white guys in a room posting index cards on a board to becoming kind of the Oscars for dudes. Yeah, and of course you have to have the cameras around the star and his family that's at the event in Detroit, or if they're at home, you have everybody in their house, and yeah, it's just really weird. And it's even worse when somebody's sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and they don't get drafted in the first round. And just, you know, they're, you know, for TV, it's like, oh, look what we got here. But, you know, in your back of your mind, you're sitting at home going, I feel sorry for the poor bastard. I mispronounced his name. Defensive end from UCLA. Colts ended up with him, I think 15th pick in the first round. Yeah, a pass rusher. I was surprised. Will he be good? Don't know, but I was actually surprised they drafted for need. Good. Then, I guess in the second round, Adonai Mitchell, I'm sorry, man, I've been up for a long time. I'm recording this pretty late. Wide receiver from Texas, you know, he's critical acclaim, you know, some prestige as a wide receiver. A lot of people thought he was going to go in the first round, did not. Colts snagged him up. And there were some rumors about character issues. I guess the guy is type 1 diabetic, doesn't manage it very well. And if you're diabetic, you know, your sugar craters or gets too high, your moods change and your focus changes. And that's kind of an issue. And when that was brought up, I guess Greg Ballard, general manager of the Colts, went on a profane tirade. He'll probably get a visit from the FedEx guy, courtesy of Roger Goodell, here in the near future. But it was a very passionate defense of the guy. When they're saying character issues, I thought maybe, you know, he did something illegal behind the scenes or something. But, you know, granted, diabetes is a serious thing. But if he's not managing well, that is a concern. So he better have a dietitian with him at all times. And he's got to be adhere to that diet and stay in the best of shape so he doesn't run afoul and ruin his potential great NFL career. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Jay Cutler, diabetic, had a decent-ish NFL career. I mean, he had some good seasons, he had some bad seasons. He had an attitude problem. That probably was something from his diabetes. It's probably one of those things you kind of have to, you know, roll with If you're a coach or a player, if he shows up to play, great. If he's having some attitude issues with his diabetes, just work with the guy. As long as he's working with himself, you know, make sure, again, dietitian is your friend there. Adonai Mitchell, but he's a wide receiver now for the Colts. Kind of excited about that. This I'm not so excited about. A couple funny stories. One that I'm kind of laughing about. The other one I'm laughing at and kind of crying at the same time. The laugh cry one is the new Guardian caps that they got for practices. Basically, you're just like these big caps that you already put on. You got this football helmet with padding inside, a face guard. You know, you're surrounded by shoulder pads and all this other stuff. But they're so concerned about concussions that, you know, for practices and all that, they have Guardian caps that they slap on it. And it looks like the stuff that the inside of a bike helmet. And they just put it on the outside of the football helmet. Now they're saying it's okay for them to wear it during NFL games. I don't think it's mandatory yet. But it looks effing ridiculous. And some people are like, but this will make the game safer. Yay, yay. And, you know, a lot of these other people saying it, you know, have no problem with the fact that, you know, the NFL has expanded the season, the regular season, the playoff field recently. They're playing games in Europe, in South America. They're playing games all over the world. And, you know, the fatigue wears on players. They're thinking about doing a Christmas Day game, and I think that's on a Wednesday this year. Yeah. So, you know, they're doing all this crap. And if they were really concerned about the players, they would not be aggressively expanding like they have been the last 20 years into, you know, these European markets, these other markets, you know, and everything else. And sorry, the fact of the matter is the game is rough. If you want to make the game safer, do it by, you know, not making them look like they're being wrapped in bubble wrap. And that's what this thing looks like. The Bears might be getting a new domed stadium. And I'm laughing about this. They have an artist rendering because, you know, they've outgrown Soldier Field. And there's been some back and forth. Bears threatening to move outside of the city. Now they got a rendered domed sketch that it's like $4 billion what they're proposing. And I'm not sure how much the ownership's putting out there and how much the taxpayers are on the bill for. But it's funny, if this happens, because I am a Colts fan, and the years of grief I've gotten from football team fans who say, oh yeah, real football players, real football teams play out in the elements. And, you know, some of these people that have given me grief have been Bears fans. And there is a real possibility that these Bears fans are going to have to kind of grin and bear it and watch their favorite team, you know, inside of 72-degree weather come December. And I got to admit, I'm kind of grinning about it. It is funny as hell. Don't know if it's going to happen. Don't know how much pushback there is. And again, Chicago, not really flush with cash. Illinois, not really flush with cash. But, you know, whatever. we'll see what happens, right? Oh, now we go on to college football. First story here, Florida State. Everybody was crying that they did not get into the playoffs this year. And then they got their asses thumped by Georgia. Was it the Orange Bowl? As well, those bowls. 63-3. Now they have unconquered rings. You know, to make the players feel better about themselves, the fact that they didn't get in the playoffs and win the national championship, the fact that they went, 13-1? Yeah, unconquered rings. Jim Irsay, do not get any ideas. Good Lord. The thing is like Georgia was going to go into the playoffs had they not lost to Alabama. Georgia looked to repeat here And the you know, one loss undid them. They came to play against Florida State. Florida State scurried and you know, either sat out for the draft, you know, hit the transfer portal, whatever. And just yeah, they when you see a performance like that, you're like, yeah, you deserve to lose. Now you got your little promise rings to make you feel better about it. Okay, whatever. Going from rings to trophies. Kind of a controversial story this week. Reggie Bush, who had to vacate his Heisman from years back. I think going back, oh, it's been a bit. But he gets it back. He's getting his Heisman trophy back. And you know, the thing was, is like, you know, university was paying for his family's lodgings and stuff. And it just, you know, some behind the scenes stuff that was not legal at the time. And so, yeah, he violated rules, or it looked like he violated rules. And now he gets the trophy back. It's really, I can't say I'm glad to see that Reggie Bush got the trophy back, because athletes, student athletes had it pretty good, even before all this NIL transfer portal, you know, bullshit. You know, they free tuition, free room and board, free everything. So you violate some rules, you're not going to get a lot of sympathy. But can I really be upset about it after all the rules have changed? The fact that the NCAA, the fact that professional sports have basically embraced gambling as a revenue stream, you know, influences all over the place. So it's hard for me to hate on Reggie Bush when the morality of the game, the morality of the structure is changing all the friggin' time. It's really just a symptom of what's going on all over the place. So, you know, him getting back his Heisman, okay, great, whatever, I kind of shrug at it. But when I, again, I've said before in podcasts past, these are no longer student athletes, they are university employees. Let's treat them as, why even have them go to class? What, you know, you're paying for them, you know, backdoor deals before all this NIL stuff. You know, you're doing things for their family behind the door, you know, closed doors. And now that it's basically, okay, it's all right for them to make money through endorsements and everything, why not just call them student employees? Why not? You're paying for their alleged tuition, and they're not there. A lot of them are not there to get educations. Harry Preston, you don't know the name. He was my Latin teacher for a couple of years in at Warren Central. He was also the baseball coach. And, you know, I forget how this happened in class. He, you know, he's a sports guy. Knew some Latin. But he, you know, something came up about how, like, you know, with these universities, you know, wanting to keep their student athletes on the rosters, NCAA basketball. You know, are they going to go pro in the NBA, or are they going to stick around? And, you know, people were like, well, you know, the coach wants him to stay because of the education. And he looked at him and goes, no, he's... And Mr. Preston just said, no, he wants him there so that they can win. That's it. He doesn't give a damn about the education. He just wants to win. Very true. You know, these colleges... they see themselves as businesses, a lot of them taxpayer-funded businesses, mind you. But they want to win, and they want to roll in the cash. And hey, if they can entice, young athletes who want to become university employees with benefits, they will. So you know, let's kind of stop with the pretense here of the education. All right, education continued, and we'll stick, because, you know, Reggie Bush went to USC, Trojan, just to kind of give you an idea of what it's like on college campuses right now. University of Southern California will not have its main graduation ceremony this year. because there was some pushback about one of the speakers being a pro-Palestinian. And, of course, campus violence. There's been some outrage on campuses lately, some anti-Semitic outrage. I don't know how I feel about this. You know, it's not that I'm apathetic. It's just, okay. You know, with Reggie Bush, I kind of shrug my shoulders about him getting his thing back. But the graduation ceremony, as somebody who's gotten two college degrees, as somebody who's gotten his high school diploma, looking back at it, these are getting your diploma, getting your degree, you know, graduating high school, college, if you go to a trade school, whatever, it's an important step in your life, right? Should be. Getting that certification for that hard work is valid. Celebrating with family and friends is valid. Sitting in a room with thousands of strangers, in an auditorium with thousands of strangers for 3 freaking hours, listening to other people's names getting called, listening to speeches by people that are there to promote their own ideas and such. Not a big fan. So, the graduation ceremony itself being canceled. On the one hand, you're doing away with a lot of stuff that you're not going to remember, you know, months from now. You'll remember graduating. You'll remember celebrating with family and friends. All the names and speeches and all that you will not remember. Okay? But at the same time, when you're citing possible violence, and it's probably from the pro-Palestinian side, it's almost like capitulation. It's like you're giving them what they want. It's almost like, there's a word that starts with a T. I don't know what. Damn it, it's late, right? So, yeah. Again, don't know how to feel about it, because they're doing it for the wrong reasons. But if I had a chance to skip, you know, a speech that I didn't want to hear, I would take that in a heartbeat. Okay, they got one right. Mayor Pete's FAA, or his, Department of Transportation with the FAA. Flights can now, or, you know, flights here in a few months should give you refunds. If your flight is delayed too long, if there's any change, no transfer credits, no comp flights or anything like that. If you don't want to fly the friendly skies, you don't have to. If there's a change in your flight itinerary, you should get your money back. Now, you know, there's probably some other stuff that they're going to do that's going to piss me off. But, you know, this makes us, why didn't Biden do this earlier? Why didn't Trump do this? Why didn't Obama or Bush or, hell, you know, I can keep going on back and forth all the way to Lincoln. Yes, I know there weren't planes with Lincoln. Don't email me. But, I mean, if you're uncertain about your flight, if you're not happy with the way things are, you know, if you can't get on the plane, get your damn money back. We've bailed these guys out a bunch of times already. If they're not willing to bail you out, do you a solid, why fly? Right? And, okay, that's one they got right. But again, there's probably something that this administration will do. Quite a few things that'll piss me off. Fake news getting faker. The Onion. You know, the parent company of The Onion, you know, they've already divested the AV Club, which was a former sister publication to The Onion. Now the AV Club is its own little pop culture thing. They also sold a bunch of other websites and social media accounts, and now they have sold Deadspin to this company, Twilio. And Ben Collins, a former reporter for NBC, will be the CEO. And he goes, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. We're not firing anybody. You know, just go nuts. Go nuts. Let me ask you something. If The Onion was still the culture phenom, and it was always more a subversive paper, but, you know, it's been bought out a bunch of times, and now it's kind of a corporate, left, run-of-the-mill type of thing. Formerly funny, just bitterly satirical now. But if it was, if it still had an impact, why would anybody want to divest it themselves from it? And, you know, just a couple days after the announcement of the Onion being sold, here is a joke, I guess, a story that they wrote up that was put on Twitter X, and not everybody liked it for some odd reason. Brace yourself. Hopefully you don't have this on the speaker at work. Mom, pretty jealous of all the dick, teenage daughter going to pull with those highlights. Yeah, that's what The Onion wrote there. I kind of cringed reading it. And hopefully I'm not put on a restricted list because of this. I hope I'm not on any registry for reading somebody else's really sick, grooming joke. But good luck to Ben Collins and his group as The Onion continues to fall off there. By the way, North Korea, this was this Wired? Yeah, Wired put this out earlier in the week. North Korea apparently has been animating American cartoons, including Invincible on Amazon Prime, a couple of Max shows as well. And it's a little more detailed. You can read it on the Mike Davidson Facebook page. But this wouldn't be shocking. Now, a lot of the companies are saying, well, we had no idea, and no, we do not do business actively with North Korea. Okay. I'm just saying that things are a little more expensive, and in North Korea, there is no shortage of people that are desperate to do anything to stay alive. And, and any money that the North Koreans make is probably going towards something illegal that could probably kill us anyway later on. But that you can read that on the Mike Davidson Facebook page if you haven't already. Okay, so running tight on time here. Jerry Seinfeld, he's out, Unfrosted. He's out promoting that movie. He's the director of it. And you would think, okay, this is his first foray into directing a movie. I don't know if he's really started, like, there's the B-movie, but I don't think he's really started in any movie aside from that, right? You would think he'd be excited about doing this for the first time, but he's talking about how, like, he's not wrong. The movie industry is dying, and a lot of people in Hollywood go on like they have no idea that it's dying. It doesn't have the same cultural significance it once did. And he talks about how, like, with stand-up, you create, it doesn't feel fake. I think that, and he goes, that's, I think, why a lot of people are attracted nowadays to comedy. Because, you know, you're doing your thing. It's your content. You control it. You're telling your story. And he's absolutely right. I mean, Dave Chappelle, I mean, you know, he can get smeared by the press for whatever he says all day long. He doesn't give a shit. People can go and watch his specials on Netflix and judge for themselves if they think he's funny or not. Same with Seinfeld. And he's, yeah, 100% right. There, people are looking for truth. People are looking for something smart and observational and something that isn't spoon-fed to them, something that kind of challenges them intellectually. Oppenheimer was a great example of a movie that did well because it was not a CGI mindless splode fest. It was something that was under budget, that was well acted, well written, well everything, and won Oscars and won an audience. Meanwhile, nobody saw The Flash. Nobody saw Dial of Destiny. And if you did, are you going to go see any of those movies twice, three times, four times? You know, Dial of Destiny. I have access to that movie. I am not at all curious as to what that looks like, because I know that Harrison Ford is covered in CGI pixels to make him look 40 in the flashback scenes. I know it's fake. Jerry, he can go out there. He's damn near 70. Say whatever the hell he wants. And I'm content with it. I'll watch that all day long. Okay, so the Ray Bradbury robot dog reference. Now you can buy a flame-throwing dog for $10,000. Not regulated. You know, you have to have a license to own a gun, but you don't have to have a license to own a flame-throwing dog. Now, to be fair, in Fahrenheit 451, the dog itself, I don't think it was a flamethrower. It had like a proboscis that could drug you, and a hypodermic needle that could drug you, knock you out. But it was a tool of the firemen who would go down and burn houses down that had books in them. So when I see this flame-throwing dog, and this dog looks like what I would have envisioned reading Fahrenheit 451, it is a little creepy. It is a little dystopian. And now your redneck neighbor can have it just in time for 4th of July. Yeah, what would you be more afraid of? Somebody who actually has a licensed carry, concealed carry, or somebody who just buys a freaking robot flame-throwing dog on Amazon? $10,000. Yeah. And finally, science. It has caught on to the over-eager, the over-anxious, those who get so nervous that they forget. So why forget? Get it done now before the go gets going. New company claims that they have now created a condom that a man can put on himself while flaccid, while not excited. You know, small. Wear it for several hours, and when the mood strikes him, if he finds that special somebody, you know, they go back to her place. Hey, what's going on? It grows with him. The condom grows up to 7 inches with the dude, if the dude's getting excited. And I'm trying to think of the situation. Like, I'm just trying to think of the random hookup situation where a guy's like, okay, I know I'm going to have 6 or 7 beers at least before I find somebody. And all I can imagine is this guy trying to have sex while wearing a bag of urine. Yeah, at least it was a good idea when they started this thing, you know, on paper. But then all said and done, I'm done. Till next time, stay fresh, cheese.
You've been listening to Mike Davidson Live. Be sure to check him out on social media. Like him at facebook.com/mdavidsonlives. Follow him on Twitter. Look for @davidsonlives.